now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to your weekly update of all things LGBT+. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Tara Fraser. Today on the show, Penny the Pigeon Queen.
Stefan Ayres talked to the author of this new book.
And Bristol Pride.
Yeah, he's here. He's here. Yeah, Mr. Pride. He's here. We'll be asking him all your questions.
All that and more.
Today here on Shout Out. Lara, there's nowhere. Someone's got to do with the dumb something.
Glad you stepped in there.
Yeah. So, hello, Lucy. How are you?
Hello. Sorry, I've completely muscled my way in, but I was just really happy that you kept the continuity going with the bit. So,
well, I get angry texts from Lara if we don't do her.
Right.
She
let
must
the
be a
side down. Yeah, you know what she's like.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. She's got a feature there.
Yeah, so hello, Arby, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, thanks, Andy. How about you?
Yeah, not bad. One more day and I've got a week off. I'm looking forward to a bit of R&R. So, hello to Stefan Ayres as well, who are with Mickey Mouse at the moment over in Paris. Hope you're having a nice time. So, I hope the weather's holding out. It looks all right over there, but we got rain this weekend, didn't we? Yeah, it's due to rain Saturday.
I look out the window and get up in the morning and then plan.
We can't get what we wish for. We had all that hot stuff for flipping ages.
What, sun?
Yeah, and the driest like spring ever. And now it's doing nothing but rain.
Yeah, the farmers are glad.
Oh yeah, I bet. Yeah.
I don't think all the Pride events are happy though.
Well, it's okay.
It is Pride month.
Ours is in July, so can't tell yet. But hopefully, we're in for a good year this year.
What about the sale of Pride ponchos? Just a thought.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I asked Darren. We've never had a Pride poncho before.
I will get in touch with my drop shipper, and we'll get on to that.
So, but yeah, we've got a lovely interview coming up today about Penny and the pigeon. Which Stefan Ayres spoke to the author. Lovely little story. I won't spoil anything. It's worth listening to.
Listen to it.
Yeah. Even my husband knew about it. He was like, oh, you're doing something about a book today, aren't you? Because they've been tweeting out what it is.
Yeah, I listen to books rather than read books.
Do you?
Yeah.
There might be an audio version.
Yeah, hopefully.
So.
Miss out the pictures.
You like them in pictures, right? Okay, yeah. Showing your age now. So, but yes. And I've got some of the songs as well in today, because I've got one from Ali X as well. I've got one of her tracks in. I thought as soon as Darren was here this week, I'd get a few in. One of my favourites, Ultranate. We've got coming up. Reminds me of being about 1920 and in Ibiza when you hear Ultranate. So I'm not sure my body could cope with that these days.
But. Who was the gay voiceover man that got shot in America like this week?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I've forgotten his name. Yeah. It was the chap from King of the Hill.
Yeah.
That horrible story.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Horrible neighbours, apparently.
Yes.
They burnt their house down as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's why they moved out. They went back to get the mail, and that altercation happened, and the guns were drawn.
That's why I don't live in America.
And tragically, the police are saying that there's no evidence of homophobia and no evidence of it being a hate crime. Mm. But his husband posted on Facebook that it was
hate.
Very, very much that. Very, very much that.
Yeah, so we're in the Trump era at the moment, aren't we? So there's no such thing as homophobia. And was it? He said it's not Pride Month, it's Article 9 month or something, which is the anti-trans bill.
I do my best not to listen to it.
Yeah, I know, yeah, we all do.
Yeah, I think has he said that, is it the US Navy have got one of their ships is named after Harvey Milk, and he's told them to, rename that, and he saved that up for Pride Month, so yeah, nice. He knows what he's doing.
But didn't they at one point remove all the references to the Enola Gay aircraft because it had the word gay in it?
Sounds a bit gay. Oh dear.
He's fallen out with Musk at the moment as well, hasn't he?
He's gone.
Alan's actually realised what he's like, and he's like, I don't like him anymore. So, anyway, should we have a happier story? Should we talk about pigeons?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Here's Stefan Ayres.
Well,
summer's coming and you'll be sat on the beaches on your lounger and thinking, right, what shall I do? You should read a book. And as you well know, that in theatre, music and authorship, the LGBT community are at the top of the pile when it comes to that talent. And we're joined by one half of those vegan guys. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on. I mean, last time we spoke was, of course, about veganism and about your sort of YouTube channel and the awareness that you do through that. But today is a little bit different. I mean, there's some links in there with the veganism. You've written a book.
I have. I've specifically written a children's book called Penny the Pigeon Queen, about the adventures of Penny and two children in the town where she happens to be at that time, because, of course, Penny, being the Pigeon Queen, she's very magical. She can be anywhere in the world at any time. But she chooses to be in this northern working-class town, and her and two children go through some stuff that changes all of them forever.
Well, I mean, that already sounds lovely and like a very important story for children. What was the inspiration behind it?
Well, very interesting story, actually. So I'll set the scene. There I am, a camp 50-year-old gentleman sitting in my hometown feeding pigeons. And a little child, a little boy, came running into the flock of pigeons in front of me and scared them all away. And I said to him, "Oh, don't chase them. How would you feel if a giant pigeon chased after you? It wouldn't be nice, would it? Here, why don't you have some seeds and feed them with me?" And he was just about to grab the seeds when his very northern working class mother came storming up, swearing, "Don't tell my effing child what to do." And I said, "I can't believe you're speaking like that in front of your child. I was just passing on a little bit of compassion, that's all." And he was quite willing to feed them with me. And I got more of a barrage of insults from her. I really couldn't believe the way she was speaking to her child. And I just started thinking, how could I relay this message? Because here's the thing about pigeons. They are now a wild animal, but they have been domesticated by us. We've done that. They love us. They trust us. They've lived so long with us, and we treat them terribly. And we allow our children to run into them and scare them. And all right, it doesn't do them any harm. But what it does do is it plants a seed in the child's mind. It's okay to do that. It's okay to run into a flock of living beings and terrify them when they're just eating. And because pigeons are the main wild animal that we all first encounter in our towns and our cities and, you know, so on and so forth, I just think it's a really important lesson for parents or guardians to teach the children in their care. You shouldn't do that. And so I wanted to get that somehow into a children's book. And then I thought, right, what did I love when I was a kid? I loved magic. I loved magic. I loved the ability. Do you remember Mr. Ben?
Yeah, I loved it.
And so did I. So did he was just incredible. So I needed Penny to be able to be anyone she wanted to be at any time. Because Penny's magic, she can appear to you in any way, shape or form.
Okay. So not just as a pigeon?
No, always a pigeon.
Okay. Always a pigeon,
but it,
yeah.
It could be a male pigeon.
Ah.
It could be a female pigeon.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a grey pigeon with purple and green around the neck. It could be a pure white pigeon. She is magic. She can do what she wants.
Brilliant. I think I'm jealous of Penny the pigeon.
So am I, frankly. So I pulled all these elements from things that I'd loved as a kid. Do you remember The Neverending Story?
Yes.
And do you remember the little boy riding on...
The white dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sort of, yeah, a dragon, a dog dragon. Sorry, listeners, I can't remember what he's called.
So, well, but that scene, really, I think it sticks in every child's mind. So I incorporated a bit of that. And so anyway, I came up with this story, which I wrote, and I wanted it to be accessible to children of all ages. So it's absolutely perfect for young children that need to be read to by their parent or guardian. And it's perfect for children who have recently or even established learned how to read on their own. And it just promotes compassion and responsibility and magic.
I think everything you've shared there is what is sort of so important for children to learn really early on. Because of course, you know, everything's externalized, they're learning from their environment. So if they're not being, I mean, obviously innately compassionate, you know, most people are born that, you know, with empathy and compassion, but there's other things that are learned and other things that can be addressed. And I think, yes, running into pigeons, that's something I see a lot. And I always think, gosh, you know, those pigeons were all sort of calm and just with one another and just eating away. And now they're all stressed. And generally, I would imagine that the child doesn't even understand the consequences if it's not explained to them. So,
absolutely. Yeah. I think the thing is as well, we don't teach the history of pigeons anymore, but we used them as a tool during both world wars. They saved probably hundreds of thousands of soldiers by getting messages to, you know, and that gets forgotten now because we no longer, I know that some people still keep pigeons, don't necessarily agree with that, although they, you know, they do come home. So, and I always think, well, if they weren't happy, wouldn't they fly off?
Yeah, and probably very loved and looked after because they're not, you know, they've got very specific needs, haven't they?
They have indeed.
And they're very bright.
They are. And they're beautiful birds. Did you know that pigeons partner for life?
I didn't.
Yeah, they're partner for life. And when one of them loses a partner, they will find a new partner. And love again, but then they'll stay with that partner until one of them leaves this mortal coil. Oh. And I just think that's so beautiful about them. It's like they are beautiful, intelligent birds, and they get disrespected and ignored so much. And I wanted to put them back on the map. Hey, these birds are important.
Yeah.
They are magic. And they are beautiful. And please stop chasing them. Feed them instead. It's lovely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if we didn't learn that from Home Alone 2 Lost in New York, then
we there you go. From your book. See?
But yet that is fascinating. You know, the history of pigeons really is extraordinary. And I'm so glad that you're, you know, sharing that today, because I know there will be listeners who actually maybe haven't thought about it in that way. You know, it's not something I was taught at school. I mean, it was lightly touched upon, but just how domesticated they were and how they were used and how incredible they were and the lives they saved, as you just said. And I think you are bringing that back into the mainstream through children's literature. And what sort of feedback have you had feedback yet?
I've had absolutely incredible feedback. So one of the first a young boy age 10 or 11, my neighbor, I gave a copy to his mum and said I would love to know, you know, what you think about this. And 2 days later, she came to my door with her little son and just said, he wanted to come over and have a word with you about the book. And he said, I really enjoyed it, and it's made me think, and I will never run into pigeons again now. Oh. And I said, I cried a little bit and said, job done. Thank you so, so much. Yeah. And I've read some of the reviews on Amazon, and I've had feedback from people who've messaged me, and some kids have already said it's now one of their favourite books. I love that.
Well, a part of you, or a big part of you, has been poured into this, piece of work, which, I think anything to do with literature is a very personal thing. I don't know what you think, but, putting part of you into something that's going to be there forever, that is in people's homes and being shared and having an impact is really lovely.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And that's why I really took my time over writing it. And I had to go back a couple of times and simplify because as a writer, anyway, of plays and things, I was like, nope, that needs to be simpler, because I want this to be, I want children to get this. It's whether reading it themselves or it being read to them, I want them to get so I had to go back. And but when I got to the stage after many attempts where I read it through and I was happy with it, and I cried at the end, and I'd had all kinds of emotional. I read it as a little. I thought, Paul, put your adulthood away and read it as the child you were. And I read it as the child I was, and he loved it, and he said, "It's finished." And I said, "Thank you, babes."
Oh, and then you released her into the wild.
Yes, indeed. And it's been out since the 28th of November, 2024. So it's now available literally worldwide.
Wonderful.
You can search Penny the Pigeon Queen on Google and find an outlet near you. It's in good bookshops. It's on Amazon. You can buy it direct from the publisher. And I love the idea of it becoming a book in a collection of books that a child loves. I love that.
Me too. And I'm so glad it's been this super positive experience for you, and that children are loving it. And I know the parents will be too, parents and guardians. And yeah, there's just something truly magical about that. A magical pigeon bringing magic to children's lives and teaching them to be kind.
Indeed.
Yep. With that, we have completely run out of time, Paul Bridges. Thank you so much.
It's gone so quickly.
It has. First, before we do go, though, social media, so people can keep tabs on you and find out when you're bringing out the second book. Just saying.
Right. So social media's first. You can catch me on Those Vegan Guys on any platform, but you can also catch me as The Vegan Queens, the drag act I do with my best friend Stuart, also on many other many platforms, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, the whole kit and caboodle. And the second book, where Penny teaches the history of pigeons to the young pigeons so that they never forget how proud they should be of who they are, is being worked on now. Not sure when it will be out, but it's in the making.
Well, I can't wait to have you back on Shout Out to talk about book two. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you so much for having me, and hooray for Shout Out.
Thank you very much.
Shout Out,
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, that reminds me of clubbing in Ibiza. Show me H there. That's Ultranate and Free. Love that song. I was a big fan of it.
Big hit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to DJ in clubs. way back when. It was by accident, I won't lie, but I've even DJed at the Astoria in London for GAY.
Wow.
I happened to be there. My boyfriend at the time was the promoter, and one of his DJs dropped out. He went, "You can do it." I'm like, "No, I can't. I haven't got my CDs." That shows you how old it is. And they were like, "It's okay, we have club CDs. There you go." And then the DJ left. I'm like, "I do.
Oh, dude.
Didn't mean to swear. Sorry."
Fifteen years.
I've never done it. I'm so sorry.
At least you swore about GAY. That was the very first gay club I ever went to. I was kind of coming out. It was the very first gay club I ever went to. Was GAY at the Astoria? Yeah.
Were you asking yourself the same question?
What do I do? I knew what I wanted to do, but yeah.
It was the first time I'd ever seen that many gay people in one place. It was very eye opening because I hadn't been out long, and you always think you're the only one. You know, so. Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
Why not? This is Shoutout News. Welcome along.
Out magazine has dropped onto our doormat this week with some brilliant pieces of LGBTQIA+ journalism within. We have to agree that their ally of the month was Jade Thirlwall, formerly of the all-girl pop act Little Mix, and someone who had battled against bullies and ne'er-do-wells throughout her career in the music industry. Appearing at the Mighty Hoopla Festival in South London, Jade led the crowd in a chant of "F you homophobes, F you transphobes, F you JK Rowling." Out magazine says that Rowling's attacks on the LGBTQ+ community don't just stop at misgendering trans people. She's also asserted that trans kids don't exist and has funded an organisation that fights to remove trans people's rights in the workplace, in public life and in protected female spaces. With some very, very heavy air quotes there that I can't actually do on the radio. Recently, Rowling has even targeted the asexual community.
Now, one of the literary greats of the LGBT+ communities, and specifically amongst gay men and HIV-positive people, has passed on at the age of 85. Edmund White passed to the realm of our LGBTQIA+ ancestors from a stomach infection, according to his husband, Michael Carroll. White opened a path for gay writers with his candid discussions of our community, lives and loves, through the 1960s, 70s and 80s in particular. But he was penning hard-hitting journalism and writing for books up until the present day. White's best-known works include 1978's Nocturnes for the King of Naples, States of Desire, Travels in Gay America from 1980, 1982's A Boy's Own Story, followed by The Beautiful Room is Empty, and 1997's The Farewell Symphony, which charted gay lives across a generation. A Boy's Own Story includes Mr. White's personal recollections of the Stonewall Riots, which blew the topic of gay oppression wide open in the hot summer of 1969. Wikipedia notes that he was the recipient of the Lambda Literary's Visionary Award, the National Book Foundation's Lifetime Achievement Award, and the Sal Bellow Award for Achievement in American Fiction. France made him the Chevalier and later Officier de l'Ordre des Arts et des Lettres in 1993. Mr. White was a participant as well as a documenter of gay politics, and he helped the late Larry Kramer set up the legendary group Gay Men's Health Crisis in 1983, according to Pink News.
Pride and Wellness is a new initiative that has reached out through existing networks of the wider LGBTQIA+ media and community. They explain Pride and Wellness is a free event and will cover wellness experiences, talks, workshops and tasters of sport and even a big picnic. The event is run by queer facilitators and speakers and will showcase queer charities. Facilitators will be sharing beautiful wellness experiences to the queer community in London across three main spaces over 4 days. The Eden Dock by the waterfront will host yoga classes, qigong, ecstatic dance and dance classes. The Crossrail Place Roof Gardens, which is a lovely leafy oasis, will hold sound baths, breathwork, talks and the Queer Spirit Drum Circle. The full programme will be released soon. You can subscribe to the newsletter to be among the first to know about the wellness programme and book your sessions. www.prideandwellness.com.
The Queer Guru newsletter is out now for June with a guide to London and the world's LGBTQIA plus art scenes. Art which is to every niche taste is catered for in the comprehensive newsletter, which you can subscribe to free of charge. One thing we noticed was a retrospective of the life of US-based activist Urvashi Vaid. Outspoken immigrant, lesbian and woman of colour, Vaid was a leader who helped shape the modern-day gay rights movement. She was an expert in gender and sexuality law and was the first woman of colour to lead a national gay and lesbian organisation. The film presents Vaid's life in Provincetown, including her 34 relationship with her partner Kate Clinton before Vaid died in 2022.
The June 2025 edition of the Trotskyist revolutionary newspaper Workers' Power has been published. The paper includes a substantial article on protecting trans rights and linking them with the struggle for working people's power. The paper is often street sold and can be found in many radical bookstores nationwide.
And finally, the gay men's fetish and underwear brand The Pack blogs this month about Pride season globally, at how important it remains and what to expect at different prides around the world. It notes that World Pride in Washington reaches its climax this weekend, saying this is the main event of a global queer calendar this year. For 2 weeks, Washington has transformed itself into the beating heart of LGBTQ plus pride, activism and celebration. Expect massive parades, international music acts, panel discussions, drag shows, of course, and historical exhibits. It's more than just a party. It's a call for global equality. And yes, the after parties are legendary.
Well, that's all we have time for this week. More LGBTQIA plus news and content at our website, of course. And why not check out more local community and LGBT plus media for more from our Rainbow Society. For Shout Out News, this has been Lucy Potter.
And Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Right, we're going to find out loads more about Bristol Pride very shortly, but here is the headliner. This is Ali X with Galena.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Ali X and Galena. That is how it's pronounced, is it? Galena, yeah, there you go. So, yeah, looking forward to that. I won't lie, I was talking to Darren before we went on air. I had no idea who she was. That's an age thing, we reckon. She's more the younger crowd.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I think her music is across generations. Like,
I can see that kind of, you were saying, Human League type.
Yeah, it's definitely just very, you know, her most recent album, she actually cites the Human League as an influence, and that very kind of 80s synth vibes. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's definitely kind of very intergenerational. If you don't know who she is, you will like her music.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm pleased I picked that one because you said that was one of your favorites.
Yeah, it is.
So,
yeah.
I got that, like I said, I got that from your website. I saw it and I'm like, oh, go buy that one for this year.
Great.
So,
good shout.
We have you on every year to talk about all the stuff. Of course, normally things are not quite as up in the air politically wise and the like. It feels this year like we need Pride more than ever. Is that just me interpreting it? Or
no, I think, you know, look, this is my 16th year doing Pride here in Bristol, and it definitely feels like it's the hardest, not just because of making a festival happen is quite hard work, but actually the climate is really hard. You know, you've got organisations being told don't do D&I initiatives, don't do Pride Month, you know. So we're actually, financially, we're seeing organisations take a step back, but it also means that their staff are less engaged and involved. There's less volunteering from organisations to get involved in Pride. It just feels really hard. And actually, we saw this, I think, during Brexit time. We saw this, what was it now, 6 years ago with the rise of, you know, Nigel Farage and his party at the time. Almost becomes a red flag to hate. And I think we have seen that more and more in the last year. You know, and that, you know, I'm not even on X anymore. Like, Bristol Pride isn't on X anymore. It's become such a toxic and horrible place. And actually, what we are now seeing is actually that's shifting to Facebook, right? And that's become a toxic and horrible place. So, yeah, it's really hard. It's a horrible climate out there at the moment. And as you say, that's why we need Pride more than ever. Yeah. One, to kind of combat that and, you know, provide a space where people can come and be resilient and be amongst their community and realize, actually, it's not that horrible out there. But also just to have joy and celebration. Like, I cannot wait for Pride just to be...
Oh, the rainbows everywhere throughout the whole of Bristol.
Among my chosen family and amongst this amazing community we have.
Yeah, but I mean, you've always, every time I've ever interviewed you about it, you've always been adamant, you know, it's a statement and we are here and not just a party.
Yeah.
You know, are we doing the same this year? Is it going? Because you've always made a point of going up past council building to
the visibility of our community is so important, and more important than ever this year, because, you know, people are being erased. People are being literally erased from society and being told you can't exist. Mm. So I think it is more important than ever for us to be loud, proud and visible, and that is what Pride is about, and we're not going anywhere.
Cool. Well, should we start off at the beginning? So there's 2 weeks of events, yes, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
That's your favourite. my little one used to get ever so scared. Bless her, she passed away now. But I remember taking her to the first ever one when it was on a Make Sunday special or something.
Down on Court Street. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it's grown to be a huge one. But is it 2 weeks? Are we nearly on three?
Not quite three yet. Yeah, we kind of keep on bleeding into the preceding week. But no, 2 weeks of events. So starting on Saturday the 28th of June. And I think last year we had 47 events and we were quite happy with that. This year we have 52 and counting.
Gosh.
So I think I've still got two events to come. I know are coming in. So I think we're on 54 at the moment, but it's just incredible how much it's grown. But also trying to cram 52 events into 2 weeks is quite a lot. So there is definitely something for everyone, and there is a lot going on.
Yeah, I mean, some of the favourites, Murder He Didn't Write.
Yeah,
that's back again. That is so funny.
We are taking a step up with that show this year.
So. Oh, really?
It's moving to it's in the tobacco factory this year.
Oh, wow.
So we're doubling the capacity of the show, and we're also bringing the 2-hour-long version of the show for the first time ever. So it's going to be very exciting, because if those who don't know, the show has actually really taken off and has been all over Edinburgh Fringe and to the West. It's done a run in the West End. So they are being very, very successful, but still obviously very keen to come back to Bristol Pride, where it's all kind of started, really.
It's lovely when that happens.
Yeah, really lovely.
Didn't Bright Light do something similar to that? Because they were hugely successful, but they've come out and done
Bright Light. Yeah, a number of times. Yeah, we love Rod. He's a very good friend of Pride, so... Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. I didn't realise. I mean, if you've never been, it's kind of a bit of a kind of like improv comedy.
Improv murder mystery, it's so it's all suggestions hilarious. From the audience.
Yeah. And they come out with the weirdest, wackiest things to think of.
It's on for two nights. It's on Tuesday the 8th and Wednesday the 9th of July. You could go both nights and see a completely different show because it's completely improvised. It's hilarious. Yeah.
And of course, as you mentioned, dog show. That's always a huge
dog
favorite.
Show. Freddie's listening at home, who hosts the dog show. So
hello,
Freddie. Very pleased that you're mentioning that. But yes, so that's.
I'd be allowed to say congratulations.
Yeah, yes.
Congratulations on getting your PhD.
Yeah, there we go.
Well done.
So Freddie will be hosting again, and that's on Sunday the 6th of July. It's on Sunday this year, and it's in Castle Park again. And that's really exciting. So that's when we'll start the show about 12:15. There's registration beforehand, and I think we had about 80 dogs last year. It's so much fun, and it is just fun. It's coming
wacky
along
in mad.
Wackiest tail, best trick, and of course musical sit.
So. And people do take it quite seriously, though, don't they? They get really
they
into
do,
it.
They do.
Dog most like its owner.
There is around. Yeah. Most like owner. Yeah.
And of course, the other one that's always a huge favourite with everyone is the comedy night. Which is moving. It's normally on a Thursday, and I look this year. I'm like, I might be able to go. I won't be on the radio.
So that is also on Sunday the 6th. We're calling it Mega Sunday because we have like 5 events that day. So that's, again, at the Old Vic. There are about 25 tickets left. So if you want to go, then be quick. And it's incredible that we are now selling out the whole of the Old Vic for the comedy night. But we We bring an amazing lineup, and that's why. So we have Jade Adams hosting again. We've got Anya Magliano, Priya Hall, Mark Bittlestone, who is making very big waves in the LGBT plus comedy circuit at the moment. And we've got Sophie Duker from, if you'll know, from Series 13 of Taskmaster, the winner. He's just incredible. So again, another act that we had before she became quite famous, and we're really proud to bring her back. And
That's fantastic. Yeah. It's lovely when artists do that. You know, some do get really big and forget the... the roots. It's lovely when they do come back and support where they started.
So that's going to be incredible. As I say, there are not many tickets left, so if you do want to grab one soon.
Give us some of the other quick ones that highlights.
I think there's some, I mean, there is so much going on. It's definitely just worth having a look at our website. But we've just opened an exhibition at Bristol Museum, with a photography exhibition with Martin Parr, who's an incredible photographer. And he's been coming to Bristol Pride since 2017 and taking very candid shots of the festival. So there's lots of really lovely memories and moments to go and see. And that's at Bristol Museum. That's running from now until November. So actually you've got plenty of time to go and see that. And then we've also got the Queer Vision Film Festival.
I was going to ask you, that was coming back.
So we've got 11 films that we're showing this year across 2 weeks, and there's some really lovely films programmed in that, including our Southwest Shorts, where we take submissions from across the Southwest and put those forward, and the winner from Bristol gets to automatically entered into the Best of British in the Iris Prize. So it's a great opportunity. There's lots of money and studio support up for grabs if you're the winner there.
We're actually talking with the Iris team at the moment. Shoutout might be getting involved with it. They should do a lot of coverage on it.
Very exciting. So
it's a brilliant film festival to get involved with.
Yeah.
And I forgot, it popped up on my Facebook, the first ever queer film festival. I actually helped compare some of it, and I completely forgot about that. It was so many years ago. It's been quite a few years, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And then we're also showing Brokeback Mountain on the mega screen. So that's the former IMAX in the aquarium, and it's just going to be amazing to see. It's the 20th anniversary of that film. Definitely such a pivotal and poignant film at the time.
Really, 20 years.
Been 20 years. Sorry. Twenty years since that film came out, so it's going to be amazing to be able to show that again. Maybe think about like how it reflects now, but also just
they're all about making a second.
I think they are. And the cinematography is such a beautiful, stunning film. But to see that on the IMAX, it's going to be something really special. Yeah. So that's definitely one to look out for. Our Circus Night that we have at Circa Media.
In Circa Media again?
Within Circa Media in Portland Square. It's on Thursday, the 3rd of July. So I'm afraid you'll be on air. but we'll be thinking of you while we're spinning and pirouetting.
You're spinning and pirouetting.
Personally me. So
I might take it out off the radio just to come see that.
That's definitely a great one, because we have so many different performers, different styles. It's really
all very talented. Isn't it the same lot that end up doing the circus tent on the day?
It's not actually. No, it's not? Different group. Yeah, I'm sure we'll come on to that in a second for Pride Day. And then, just so many sports events. So we have more sports tasters than ever. It's something we introduced last year. We have so many amazing sports groups in Bristol, and we know, obviously, that sport is an area where we need to do a lot more work to tackle...
It's quite challenging.
Homophobia, biphobia, trans... All the phobias, but especially trans within sports is a really challenging area at the moment. But we've got some amazing sports groups here in Bristol that are being very... supportive and pushing back on that and are inclusive. So we've got lots of different groups offering free tasters to come along to. So I think we're on about 8 or 9 of those now across the 2 weeks, from swimming to badminton to rugby to football. They're all free for people to kind of come along to, especially for Pride. So do check those out.
Did I see three of the choirs got together as well? Out got together with... I can't remember the names of the other two now.
E-Harmonique.
That's it, yes.
And the Bristol Gay Men's Chorus.
And Harmonique, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, three choirs come together to sing for Bristol Pride, and that's taking place at St George's on Monday the 7th of July. So that's
lovely venue, that one.
Yeah, really lovely venue. Acoustics are gorgeous, I think what they're saying, over, I don't know how many people are coming together in that choir. It's going to be massive, right? It's going to be...
Well, singing at school, gosh, they're over 100, I think, aren't
they? So they're saying it's an ensemble of over 100 performers. So, it's going to be huge. And exciting, and I've heard some of the songs that they've been practicing for it. I'm sure it's going to be very lovely.
To my knowledge, first time they've all sung together. Too.
Exactly, yes.
I know they're all friends. I'm not, not trying to make it sound like they hate each other.
They're probably all in each other's choirs, if not their
best. I think there is a bit of crossover, isn't
choir
there?
Choir hopping.
And then we come to the weekend, don't we? Now, big day is the Saturday.
Yes.
Kicks off fairly early-ish, isn't it? Is it meet for...
Meet for 10 o'clock, 10, So, so we, of course, it's Pride, so it's that, the roots of Pride are the Parade March, and that's the most important part of what we do. So it's gather in Castle Park from 10 a.m. We leave at 10:45 a.m. And we'll be taking a lovely route through the city centre, as I say, to be visible, to be loud, to be seen.
You can't miss it. You can hear it for miles.
I'm always surprised that people don't know it's happening, and they look shocked when they see all the flags coming through the city centre, as if to go, what's this doing here?
And if you are that front car that gets stopped,
you won't be moving your car for a while.
If you are driving, don't avoid it. Come and park up and watch it.
Get out the car, come and join in. And I guess, what I'm proud of in Bristol is we're a little bit different to some of the other larger prides, in that everyone can come and actually take part in our parade march. So you don't have to stand behind a barrier and just watch everyone go past. You can come and join in. And I think last year we had about 25,000 people on the march. We filled the whole route from Castle Park to the finish and then some. So
I remember, because we have people either end and they're like, yeah, they're here, they're still leaving.
It's incredible. So and we want more people than ever to come and join us, so please do.
Now, can we, because we always get asked this, what's the official thing, so that if people want to come, or if they want to come as a group, or if they want to come as an organization, there are some rules if you're not just individuals, aren't
there? Exactly. So if you're an individual, you can just join in. If you're a small group of friends, or a small community group or charity, you can just join in. But if you're a larger group, a larger organization, a business, for example, we would like you to register. And we do ask that larger businesses pay something to be within the parade, and that helps us to cover the costs of making the parade happen and security and all those kind of things. So you can just go to our website, which is bristolpride.co.uk/parade, and you can complete a registration form online there.
Cool. Yeah, I just want to admit, because sometimes people don't know when they turn up, and you don't want to be disappointed, do you?
If you're a large group, community group, organization, charity, union, business, whatever, register, and I guess we'll let you know whether you need to pay to take part or not. Smaller groups and stuff, it's absolutely fine.
Although, if you want to give a donation, then won't say no, because it all helps, isn't it?
It does.
Now, where's it ending?
So it ends down on the amphitheatre,
right?
And that's where we'll have our wonderful shuttle buses running you up from the amphitheatre to the Downs all day long.
Because you normally ask people not to walk, so we don't end up with like tons of people.
It is walkable, so you can definitely do it.
It's uphill.
But if you do it, and if you're walking up, Park Street and White Ladies Road, we just say obviously the parade has ended, so walk on the pavement.
We do get a bit carried away with the flags, don't we? Like, hey, middle of the road. And then what time are things kicking off? I think I saw the program. It's the usual. It always opens with Sing Out Bristol, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So the main festival site opens at midday. And then runs right through until I think 10 p.m. So an incredible day of entertainment. But yes, we're opening at 12, and the main stage opens with Sing Out Bristol. So that's going to be very exciting.
Cool. So you can't get in before.
You can't. No. So I think if you do kind of turn up at say 11:45, we might let you in.
Right.
But yes. So because most people are on the parade, and that will finish and then by the time that finishes, the site's open. So,
right.
Yeah. Cool. If you're not joining the parade, go and have some brunch.
Yeah.
And then come and join
us. Or come watch the parade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So, lineup for the day then.
Yeah. I mean,
it's got some fantastic
acts. Well.
Yeah, and lots of stages. Is it more stages this year or are we same as last year?
No, I think same as last year. So, yeah, we've got 5 stages across the site. Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible.
So, is that unusual for prides? Most prides have lots of stages. I haven't done a while. It always used to just be the one big main stage.
Kind of mixes. It's either there are just one stage or they might do 2 stages. They might have the main stage and the community stage. But, you know, Bristol's a music city and we want to make sure we're making the most of that. So we have our uplift stage and we're working with Bristol Boys and Punker to curate that. And that'll be an eclectic mix of kind of alternative drag and drag kings and comedy and poetry and music, and that's gonna be great fun. And then Punker come in with kind of like the more kind of grassroots and but you know, music bands. So we've got Split Dogs headlining that stage this year. We've got Disaster Clinic, we've got Come to Mind, some really great local Bristol bands there performing.
Cool. I'm conscious we literally got like a minute left.
Okay, well, let's talk about main stage.
Main stage
you kind of had
Ultranate.
You've already played Ali X. We've got Kim Wilde in our legend slot in the afternoon. We've also got Cascada, for all those 90s fans. So many amazing acts.
Loads of them. Yeah, it's a brilliant lineup. Go have it. It's all on the website, isn't it?
Yeah, so just head to bristolpride.co.uk and that is where you can also pick up your wristband for the festival.
You're preempting my question. So have we got the same again? Have we got a day and a day and a night?
Yeah, there's a few options. We've got the Pride Day Supporter. It's only £9. It's absolute bargain. And if you get one of those, you get free bus travel across Bristol all day on first buses. You also get to use our shuttle buses for free. If not, those will be chargeable this year. We also get 50p off all your bar prices all day long. So have a couple of drinks at the festival, you'll be saving money. There's other great benefits as well, like around the city as well. Some of our partners and supporters have gotten on board to help with those. Or we do a fast track day night, which is quicker entry, and also includes the after parties as well. So much going on. We've got the O2, we've got Guilty Pleasures, we've got Beef Mints DJing there this year, Dirty Pop. Jombas Blonde from RuPaul's Drag Race is also doing a DJ set down there.
So nice.
Loads going on this year. But yeah, get a wristband.
£9 for pounds. Everything you get with Pride, if you ask me, is blooming cheap.
Blooming cheap, yeah.
Blooming cheap. And it helps keep
less than £1 an hour for the festival. So definitely worth doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, as always, mate, it's always a pleasure. And I know I could talk to you for another hour about everything that's going on because there's just so much of it. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us. You must come on the day.
Yes,
I will. As you always do.
Yeah, I'll see you. I'll come over at some point when the stress levels
less stress, lower. Yeah.
It always. We always see you on that day. You're like, oh, it's nearly there.
Nearly there.
I can chill. Are you doing the after parties again this year?
Yeah, of course. I don't know how I managed to do it because I'm usually up at 6 a.m.
I don't know how you do it.
It's adrenaline. And also it's just the being amongst our community, and that's what keeps me going all day. Yeah, cool. It's great.
Well, that's Pride this year. We will have loads more in the run-up to it. But that is it for this week. If you are going to Bristol Pride this year, do tell us your thoughts. We'd also love to see your photos as well. That'd be brilliant.
And you can contact us via the website, socials, or plan it all.
Plain old email.
shoutoutradio.lgbt is where you want to head for our info.
Next week we're doing the Fringe, but for myself and the rest of the team, lovely Darren, say bye-bye everyone.
Bye-bye everyone.
Shout out
LGBT radio for you.